Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, Jucks listeners. We are the Juckies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan, Team 980, 910 The Fan, and Richmond and Monumental Sports Network. We're brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Juckies. If you're looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just go to cropmetcalf.com. You can join their team today. Obviously, a different opening to the show than usual in light of the aviation disaster that occurred pretty close to where we're broadcasting from here in downtown Washington, D.C., as a flight out of Wichita, Kansas, headed to Reagan National Airport, collided on approach with a military helicopter. There were 64 people aboard the aircraft. There were 3 soldiers aboard the military helicopter. There's a massive emergency response, a recovery response, trying to find any hope of survivors, but we know from reports that dozens fear dead at this point. The temperature of the water that the wreckage went into is 35 degrees.
Just the water's murky, it's icy.
Aviation disaster in the U.S. since 2009. So terrible news to hear last night. It occurred around 9 p.m. last night. I saw the initial reports but didn't realize the magnitude and the scope of what had happened until I had woken up this morning.
Well, and then the video is just devastating.
You see the video; it's pretty grainy video that was caught by the a Kennedy Center camera that shows the impact and then the aftermath and the flash and I guess explosion. Your heart just goes out to the families and everybody that was on board both aircraft. And I mean, just scary.
Members of the figure skating team, the U.S. figure skating team, parents.
I think it was the
coaches.
Junior.
Yeah.
The juniors of the developmental program.
Yeah, there was some camp in, I guess, in Wichita. They were flying back here. So, yeah, it's just
a nightmare
awful.
Because it's a midair explosion.
Correct.
I mean, there's no way you're going to survive that, even though they were only 400 feet off the ground. I mean, even if you survive the explosion, you're not going to survive the plunge into the river.
Right.
I mean...
Yeah, I saw a report.
It's 100% fatality.
That the passenger aircraft was 300 feet above the river. Like, that shows you how close.
That's how close they were to landing.
How close they were to touching down at the airport.
Yeah, I know.
Imagine all the people looking out the window, just like waiting to land.
Right.
Which you always
and not
do.
Knowing what hit them. Yeah, just, and then.
Hopefully they didn't know.
Yeah, just an awful story to either go to bed to or wake up to, and we'll be giving details as they come in throughout the show. And, you know, it's just, it's not going to be a normal Junks Thursday show.
No.
In light of what has happened, pretty close. And look, all of us have flown out of Reagan hundreds of times, 100 times amongst, you know, the group of us. We drive by it. Some of us drive by it every day.
So the helicopter was on a training mission.
Correct.
And some of the things I heard was it was flying blind. Maybe he wasn't able to receive communication. I'm sure we're going to learn more about it.
They do it with like visual. It's like the thing that, that Kennedy Jr. when he was flying. Mm-hmm. So
there are reports that the tower had contact with the helicopter.
Yeah, they asked if you saw the plane.
Like, do you have visual contact with the plane? Like, you have to veer.
I've heard the one side. Did the tower hear back from the helicopter?
No, yes, he did.
Yeah, and I believe there's contact.
There's some speculation.
Both ways.
Nobody knows, but there's some speculation. He was looking at a different plane. He didn't see that plane. So,
all right, Valdez has audio of.
I don't even want to hear it. But you can play it,
back
but
and
I'm
forth.
Not going to listen.
And then also like the tower grounding all of the flights afterwards.
Okay.
S25, this is Georgia in flight. S25, Antoine, this is Georgia.
This club has an aircraft in sight for precision
separation. 472, Washington Tower, 1 star, 320-17.
Did you see that?
472. American, 3130, go around, turn left in, 250, Clementine, 3000.
Okay, left in, 350, 3000, American, 3130.
Tower Blue Streak 5347 is on final. Request runway 33, circle to 33.
American 472, Council Land Clearance runway 1 continues.
Council 13 is standby. Blackjack 3, can you return to base?
Blackjack 3,
Blackjack 3, proceed directly to Glebe. I need you to land.
Blackjack 3, proceed.
Fairfax 1, I need you to land immediately.
Fairfax 1, understand, land immediately, looking for a field.
Top 6, go ahead. Did you land immediately? Can you go to Dulles for a few minutes?
So I think that's the extent of the, and it's hard to decipher because it's clipped so quickly and you don't really know the context of who's talking to
you
who.
You can barely hear,
it's
just devastating.
Look, having driven the route away from work, and you pass Reagan on your left-hand side. We've seen this every day. We've seen the amount of helicopters that are in that airspace every day. And that's during the day, during daylight. I don't know how many of those flights are happening when it's dark outside, but obviously this one was happening, a training run by being conducted by the military.
I just don't know why they are allowed to do that so close to an airport. I mean, you know, I guess.
Well, there's a lot of restricted airspace there, so it's kind of depends.
Cakes is right. You see those military helicopters all the time, and right there.
This quote jumped out at me. This is from Mary Schiavo, the former Inspector General of the U.S. Transportation Department. She was speaking with CNN. Her quote was, "There are a lot of things that can go wrong when you have too many aircraft in a very close airspace, and that is DCA. Those are the initials, obviously, for Reagan National. DCA is just a very busy airport that opened decades ago. It was supposed to close because it was too close to the city." Like, I mean, that just tells me that they've known for a long time that the airspace around Reagan National's congested. It's kind of a ticking time bomb. And sadly, we saw the worst case scenario of it play out last night.
First major U.S. commercial crash in almost 16 years.
Right.
I think, can't remember which one that one was.
That was in Buffalo.
And of course, we all remember.
Remind me of the incident of that one.
Plane stalled, I believe, and just kind of dropped out of the air. I don't know whether it was liftoff or, I mean, takeoff or landing.
And of course, we all remember 1982 Air Florida.
Lenny Skutnik.
Yep. And of course, that was all on camera as well. Well, the recovery of some of those passengers,
but that from what I remember about that was due to, I think there was excess snow and ice buildup, like on the wings. It was
terrible weather. Yeah.
And I think the pilot was basically just said, we're taking off anyway.
Yeah.
And disastrous consequences unfolded after that. So again, just a horrible, horrible aviation disaster here in D.C. 64 people aboard the aircraft, 3 people aboard the military helicopter collided in midair, very close to landing at Reagan National. And you hope that there's some hope for a survivor, but
how
with
could
the
you
collision
survive?
And then going into the water, it just
how
seems...
How could you survive 400 foot? Even if you survive an explosion, you got a 400 foot drop.
I know, it's...
Yeah.
And then even if you survive that, how do you survive the water?
Right.
You don't.
Well, you don't
they
survive.
Say you get hypothermia in minutes.
Of course. Well, you don't, but you don't survive a 400-foot drop.
I know. Yeah. I'm just taking it a step further.
Yeah, I mean, it's pointless. I mean, you just want to get the bodies and give some peace to the family. And
some reports say they've recovered about 19 so far.
And then, of course, the rescue workers are going in shifts because they can only be in the water for so long.
Right.
So they're
can you
limited.
Imagine what a horrible job that is, too? You're a scuba diver and you're looking for bodies.
And they've been there all night.
Yeah, it's...
I mean,
they got there last night. It's probably 9:30.
You can't pay them enough. Man, the whole thing's nightmare fuel for everyone. It's just unbelievable.
If you work as a first responder and you have to put on your scuba suit and go down and look for bodies in the bottom of the Potomac,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's obviously your respect goes out to them. It's a commendable job they're doing, but I know I couldn't do it. I'm not cut out for that sort of work.
And this is just an awkward show for us because we're not used to, well, nobody is, but we're certainly not used to it. We want to come in and talk, you know, sports. We want to talk about the Caps and the Super Bowl and NFL coaches, you know, stuff that were college hoops. We're not used to this. So it's just awkward for us as well. Very. Hmm. It's very uncomfortable.
I'm getting texts from my buddies, a pilot. I know Jason has a buddy that's a pilot. See if he has any insight. I'm
trying to get my buddy Mike, he's been a pilot for United for 30 plus years.
People probably don't want to go on the record because they don't know.
Well, probably
but they might
not.
Give you speculation off the record.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like the flight from Kansas, that was kind of a routine flight.
It appears if there's any wrongdoing or somebody that, they kind of violated a rule or something or, you know, kind of was in error. Seems like it's more the helicopter.
And the communication we heard was with the helicopter, right? Or was that with the airplane?
I don't know.
That was the traffic controller and everybody.
The helicopter or the airplane?
I believe it says
both.
Probably
it's
talking
both.
Of both, yeah.
Okay. Yes. I think it's both. The helicopter was visual, right? That's what they were using their visual rules or whatever. And the plane was on their instruments.
Yeah, then they're asking the air traffic controller is asking the plane if they see the CRG in sight.
Here's what my buddy said. He's flying for a commercial airline for long. He goes, I don't know, man. I'm leaning towards maybe the guys in the Black Hawk blanked up.
Mm-hmm.
You get a lot of military helicopter traffic like that around D.C. A lot of times they're on different frequencies, but who knows? Just brutal.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a long investigation.
To follow up on that, from CNN says, Washington Tower has 2 radio frequencies used to communicate with airborne aircraft. 1 frequency used for rotorcraft helicopters and another one for other aircraft. So this person said, the quote is, in this circumstance, you would have had the Black Hawk talking to the tower on 1 frequency and you would have had Flight 5342 talking to the tower on another frequency, adding that the crash may have resulted in, quote, a barrier of situational awareness between the pilots. That's jargon I don't quite understand, but maybe it's just that like they're talking on different frequencies and they're not.
It's just too much. Just too much going on.
Yeah, it's confusion. Like,
and it's clearly human error, but there's too much going on, and it's dark. And
you know, like the pilot of the passenger jet probably never even saw the helicopter. If the helicopter's flying dark, like on a training mission, like. It didn't have any, I think from the video that we saw, you can see like a tiny exterior light on the helicopter as it approaches the passenger jet, which has a big like spotlight on it.
Yeah.
But it's coming in from the side. And if the rest of the aircraft is dark, like
how can you see it?
Like the pilot, I would guess, is locked in on trying to land the plane.
Mm-hmm.
It's not worried about something coming in from the side that it can't see, right?
I'm sure it's looking around.
Especially because you're about to land the plane seconds later.
Yeah, I'm sure it's looking around, but you probably don't expect it. You know what I mean?
I mean, that's just...
Well, you would think on the radar, if he's got radar, he knows other planes are around.
Right.
Maybe he doesn't know.
They're so used to it.
Maybe the Black Hawk is undetectable. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
But it also just it makes you think and wonder why the military, this Black Hawk apparently was coming from Fort Belvoir.
Yeah.
But why it's so close to the airport at night.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Why it's doing a training mission at that time.
There'll be an investigation, obviously.
It doesn't make any sense.
I'm asking my buddy how common that is in other cities that you have military flights that close to major airports. Let's see what he says.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, it's going to be a different kind of fluid show. We'll give you details, obviously, as they filter in from the latest from this aviation disaster that occurred basically right down the street from where we're broadcasting. 64 people on the passenger jet, 3 soldiers on the Black Hawk military helicopter that were involved in the collision. Later in the show, we'll be joined, we're not sure what time yet, by aviation expert Jeff Wise. We may have some other guests calling in to help give us updates. We're the Junkies. We'll be right back on 106.7 The Fan.